The Blaze Radio Network. On demand. Glenn Beck.
40 years ago, radical leftists wrote, "It should be remembered that you can threaten the enemy and you'll get away with it. You can insult and annoy him. But the one thing that is unforgivable and that is certain to get to him is to react and laugh at him. This causes irrational anger." Oh. Now, this tactic has been used for years. And when we complain about it, you know, maybe they've gone too far, you know. Taking pictures of, let's say, somebody standing there with a severed head of the president. You know, maybe they say we're uptight and humorless. Yet, as we have seen, they cannot handle absolute any sarcasm, any comedy. They can handle zero of the same back into their face. They seem utterly incapable of laughing at themselves. Sacha Baron Cohen can rib conservatives constantly, and the leftists rejoice. But they are completely blind and silent about Cohen's wacky NPR character, who perfectly encapsulates the hysteria of Trump derangement syndrome, and whose own Twitter bio reads, "Proud Democrat, lecturer on gender studies at Reed College, co-principal at Wildfields Poly-Ed, stay-at-home male mom." How come you haven't heard anything about that? Because they don't find that funny. The character's intro is, "I'm Dr. Neera Kane D'Anglioso," or whatever. "I'm a cisgender, white, heterosexual male, for which I apologize." You don't hear anybody talking about that, do you? Another great example is CRTV's satirical video of socialist Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Now, this is Allie Beth Stuckley. Now, Allie used to work here at The Blaze, and she was trying to find her own kind of niche, her own thing for a long time. And when she started here, she started making satirical videos. Not all of them were satirical. Still, not all of them are satirical. But she just made one that went to a million views, I mean, within a day. Oh, my gosh. Well, the left is very upset. The video shows Allie using selectively edited comments from the Ocasio-Cortez disastrous PBS interview, where she made anti-Semitic remarks and framing them in such a manner where she appears to be answering questions from Stuckey. This is the oldest trick in the book, and especially when it's a very well-known interview. This interview has been everywhere. Everybody knows it because she was a moron. "Well, I think the occupation is, I'm not sure. I'm not an expert." So the segment intersplice questions from Stuckey, cleverly interspliced into selectively edited clips from Cortez's recent interview with PBS. We've all seen this done a bazillion times. And the left's immediate response, if you can believe it, was outrage. Outrage. Shapiro said, "Intensely stupid. This is what Allie does. I've starred in them with her." You're exactly right. You're exactly right. Here's a short clip of what she did.
"Do you have any experience that qualifies you for this job? I was growing up during the Clinton era. And then basically when I was in middle school, 9/11 happened. Do you have any knowledge whatsoever about how our political system works?" Yikes. Does that make you a little bit nervous? Put socialism into your own words.
Unprecedented concentration of wealth at the very top, tippy top of the 1%.
Wow, I'm kind of surprised to hear you admit that. It sounds like what's going on in socialist Venezuela. What do you think about what's going on in Venezuela?
Just an increasing crisis of humanitarian condition. And to me, it would just be completely unacceptable if that happened on our shores.
Okay. And now this is exactly what John Stewart and everyone has done for a million years. Well, Cortez, who I can actually excuse because she's just using this to make money. Okay. She's just raising money on this. So she responded, "Republicans are so scared of me that they're faking videos and presenting them as real on Facebook because they can't deal with the reality anymore." Okay. All right. So she doesn't get the joke, or, you know, maybe she does get it, but she's just trying to raise money. Let me go back to one major point. Why is it somehow fine for leftists to constantly make conservatives the butt of the joke and then instantly cry foul the moment the humor is reversed? Obviously, it's important for people to listen to criticism and have their beliefs challenged occasionally. But is it healthy for people to feel as though their worldview is inherently off limits, while the other side is made to feel like their point of view is somehow or another evil? One side feels constantly under attack. They just stop listening. They stop engaging with the other side. And as a result, the divisions between left and right become more unshakable. This is a really dangerous situation because ultimately we need one another. Democracy cannot work without balance of liberalism and conservatism. And if two sides are unable to sit down together and have a laugh, let alone compromise and empathize and commit themselves to improvement, then we've got bigger problems than bias in comedy. And there's nothing funny about that. Well, maybe there is, but only if it's done really, really well.
It's Wednesday, July 25th. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
So, Stu, I would like to announce, and I know I'm early, but the death of the left. I think they are overplaying their hands. They're knocking themselves out in ways they don't even understand.
If you're going to declare the death of a political movement, Glenn, you're going to need to give us some supporting evidence. Because, I mean, I don't know, freaking out over an interview where you edit together clips and to make it into something funny is only something that's been going on for at least as long as I've been alive. Yeah, I remember Weird Al Yankovic doing it on Al TV every time he released an album.
Well, but Ali's not known for doing that. Well, unless you've been watching her.
Yeah, first of all, unless you've been... Oh, gosh. This one's setting me off. Okay. Ali was on the show, on our network.
Yeah.
She did videos, not exactly like this, but very similar to this, in which she'd like mock characters. This is something that she does all the time. The Washington Post releases a story about this supposed controversy. And first of all,
hold on just a second. Could I have the jingle, please? Oh. I think this story deserves Addicted to Outrage.
Addicted to Outrage.
Yes, go ahead. So here's the Washington
Post.
Great
example of it.
Yes.
Because none of these people are actually outraged by this. None of them. They're just doing it for clicks and fun. This is what they describe the interview. They say, but the video did not depict a real interview. Despite its caption, Ali grills congressional hopeful of progressive It Girl Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
I'm glad, first of all, that the Washington Post has told us now for sure that progressivism is synonymous with socialist.
I'm certainly fine with that.
Thank you for that.
But this is Ali's caption here.
Mm-hmm.
And a knowledge of government or lack thereof. Instead, used heavily edited footage from an interview of Ocasio-Cortez. Now, first of all, the Ocasio-Cortez interview on PBS has been a giant news story for a week.
Yes.
Everybody knew the footage. Everybody had seen the footage. Secondly, the backgrounds don't match. Where Ali's sitting, she has a white background, but it's a different background for where Ocasio-Cortez is sitting. Anybody who was looking at it would know immediately. Thirdly, you don't label satire. If you can help it, you try not to.
No.
And the reason for that is
because
you give away the joke.
Hang on just a second. Okay. Did you read the Washington Post?
That's where I'm getting this
right,
from.
They have to label it. And you know that every satire you have ever seen is always labeled. Everything. the Colbert Report. What does it say before that show even started?
Warning, satire approaching.
Yes. So,
that's true. I remember
I
that.
Mean, they always label satire.
Yeah, you don't do that unless you have to. Beyond that, she actually did label it satire. Now, they're talking about when she updated the caption. They updated the caption to say this is satire. They actually, you know, did it. But she put a winking emoji in the middle of her headline. Now, if you are conducting a serious interview with an up-and-coming congressional candidate, do you put a winking emoji in the description of your interview? No! It was blatantly obvious what it was. Listen to this, though. After an outcry, the Facebook page for Stuckey's show, where the social media giant is given informal, I can't remember say that word. Given under the blue check mark, right? Was updated to note that the video was satire and include a reference to the original PBS show. But the fact that the video traveled so widely and for some apparently believably, again, like they're not saying they believed it. They're saying for some apparently believably, what is their evidence for this? Who knows? They go on to give you a couple of random people from Facebook to say, look, one person said they believed it. It's like, it's Facebook. One person says everything. One person is talking in gibberish right now. One person has an entire page dedicated to pig Latin. Like, one person believes everything. But like the fact that video traveled so widely, again, it has had over a million views. The video did very well, right? Looking at some of the previous videos from Ali, here's the one at the top of her page, which is a video entitled. Here it is. Human dignity starts in the womb. Okay. That video has 3.15 million views. More than double the amount that the Washington Post is talking about. When you go down to the previous video before that, it's Allie. Let's see, which one was this? Allie sitting in her car with no production value. She's sitting in her car, and the headline is Christ-like confidence is greater than self-love. And she is, it's a 3-minute video of her sitting in her car that has 762,000 views. This is very much in the mainstream of where an Ali Stuckey video would perform, right? Well, she does well on the internet. And it's like, they sit here and they hammer her as if she has never done anything like this before. That's one of their arguments, because people will say, well, what about Jon Stewart? He's done this stuff. You know, Saturday Night Live's done this stuff. Every Weird Al Yankovic's done all these things. Well, Allie's not known for that. Well, first of all, she's, what, 25 years old?
Yeah.
She's a new media personality.
And if you have been around her or following her,
she is
known for this.
Yes.
She's just not well known because she's at the beginning of her career.
Right. Like, the fact that you don't know what she does doesn't mean that her millions of fans don't know
it's
that.
Crazy.
They do know it. That's why they're there.
Right.
You're just jumping into this because you're trying to make up an outrage story that you don't actually have any foundation to. And the fact that they would all play along, because you're right, Ocasio-Cortez, you know, she's going to tweet about it because she wants to raise money and look like the victim so she can, you know, of course. But the fact that so many media members jump onto this and act as if they also can't tell whether this is real or not is the big problem.
Hold on just a second. I have some breaking news here.
Okay.
On something that we have just discovered that Donald Trump has said. And it is stunning, Stu.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get into this next.
Uh-oh. What is it?
Well,
I'm very nervous.
You should be.
Addicted to outrage.
And you might even be outraged by it. We'll get into that next.
Oh, no.
Glenn Beck.
Addicted to outrage.
Holy cow. I'm very concerned. I'm really upset. I don't know if this is real or not. I just found this.
Another Cohen tape?
No. I just tweeted this. I don't know if the source is Ali Stuckey or this seems highly edited, but I'm not sure. It doesn't seem like something the president would do, and it's not marked parody.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So could you just play this, please, sir?
She was more like a beauty queen from a movie scene. I said, oh my, what do you mean? I am the one.
Let's
president of the United States. Now, he should be taking the time for the full production of this song.
Yeah, the backgrounds, his tie, his positions, the microphone, and everything changes almost every word, but I'm not sure if...
This is downright scary as hell. Everyone, please watch this video. It's revealing. How did this person get elected to be president of the United States? The new face of the Republicans. By the way, those are all the... That's the evidence that people believe the Ali Stuckey video is the three comments I just read to you. They one person said, downright scary as hell. Another said, everyone, please watch this video. It's revealing. Now, do they have any evidence that those comments are real? Did they go through and find out for sure if the person really felt it was downright scary as hell, or were they joking about the comment? Because that was how I would comment.
Well,
on
is
a
it
joke.
Marked parody?
Is their comment marked parody?
Yes, that's what I think we need to know. If it wasn't marked parody, we don't know if it was parody, but we can assume it wasn't, and we must immediately go for the worst possible outcome if it involves a Democrat.
Did you hear this interview with Bruce Springsteen?
No.
Yeah, this is a bizarre interview, and it's downright scary as hell, Glenn. Listen
really?
To this.
Okay, well, let's get on with the questions. I hear you have a problem with your pants falling down on stage. What's wrong with them?
They're pretty loose, you know?
Say, a couple minutes ago, I saw you using a nutcracker to open a bottle of beer. How come?
I don't know, you know? It just seemed like a good opener, you know?
Yeah. Okay, name as many numbers as you can between 7 and 12.
8, 9, 10, you know, 11.
Bruce, say something incomprehensible.
It's something like, I guess my... You know, I always, I probably took the whole thing...
Okay, that's enough.
Now, okay, so there you go.
Wow.
Bruce Springsteen.
Now,
is he on drugs?
It seems old.
It does seem old. It almost seems like it's from Al TV.
Al TV.
Which is when Weird Al Yankovic took over MTV.
Who is this Weird Al Yankovic you speak
of? He's a serious interviewer that never does parody, Glenn.
Wow, I didn't know that.
It's very controversial.
Okay, so this is something brand new.
Brand new, I'm sure.
Right.
And it seems like Bruce Springsteen, while looking much younger...
Right.
Must be on some sort of drugs. He's obviously incoherent.
Scary. We could say that we don't know for sure, but just based on this video, Bruce Springsteen may be close to an overdose.
I'll say this. It's downright scary as hell, said me.
Said who?
Said me.
Said me. Okay.
Everyone, watch this video. It's revealing.
It is revealing.
How does this person get to sell albums and go on stage?
I have no idea. At least he knows how to count. At least we know he can count. But it's very disturbing.
I mean, again, it's this addicted to outrage moment where they're faking that they are upset about this. It's not real. They are not upset about it. They knew it was parody from the beginning. It's not a real story, but they're doing it anyway, and that is a massive problem.
Okay, a lot to discuss today, including the tapes from Cohn and Trump. Coming up.
Glenn Beck, Mercury.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Addicted to outrage.
Bill, since everything that's happened, I kind of been laying low.
No, if you want to lay low, television is the best place to do that. Now, I want to give you a chance to clear up some things. You gave an interview with Billy Bush where you claimed that while you were at a gas station in Rio, a gun was put to your forehead and cocked, and you were robbed. Now you're saying that didn't happen?
That didn't happen, and that's why I over-exaggerated that part.
That part. Okay, here's the thing. That part is really the whole part. Without a gun cocked at your forehead, it's really just a story about some guys urinating on a gas station. How could you get that so wrong?
I was intoxicated.
Okay. But on Sunday, when you told that story to Billy Bush, it was hours after the incident.
I was still intoxicated.
Okay. But then on Wednesday, you told Matt Lauer again that you were robbed. That was another 3 days later.
I was very intoxicated.
Okay, so this seems highly edited. I don't know if Ali Stuckey had anything to do with this, but this seems highly edited here.
It was not Mark Satire, Glenn.
It's not Mark Satire. I don't even know if it's satire.
So I choose to believe it and say it's downright scary as hell.
Right. Well, people should listen to this because I think it's quite revealing.
It is.
So anyway, we have Austin Peterson. He's a U.S. Senate candidate in Missouri, and his Senate race is happening, what, August? Are you there, Austin?
Yeah, good morning, guys. Is it August 7th?
August 7th, okay. And you are I guess fundraising with a raffle for a 3D printer that will print a gun.
Yeah, it's called a Ghost Gunner 2. It's a milling machine. It allows you to make an unserialized firearm. Every American has the right to manufacture at least one firearm that doesn't contain a serial number. So last week, there was a court decision that made it so that it was legal for us to use our not only our Second Amendment rights, but our First Amendment rights to distribute machines like this. And it's a way for me to explain to people and show people that I am the strongest Second Amendment candidate in the whole country. And it definitely got liberals, got the hair up on the back of their necks.
Yeah.
They're coming for me.
I have a feeling that no one could outdo the guy who is saying you can make a gun without a serial number. It'd be hard to find somebody.
Well, it's really important because the guy that I'm running against, the Republican, who's sort of like the Mitch McConnell pick in this race.
Yeah.
You know, the first thing that he did when he announced he was running was come out in favor of gun control. Actually, he's technically to the left of the Obama administration when it comes to firearms controls, because he wants to use executive orders to ban firearms accessories, which even Obama said he didn't have the authority to do. And, you know, we have some polls that show that if enough Republicans in Missouri know that Josh Hawley is weak on the Second Amendment, that we beat him. So I'm trying to get the message out, and what better way to do it than let people make their own ghost guns?
So...
Well, so
Austin, I'm concerned though. I saw a recent press conference with one, the Honorable Charles Schumer, and he was very clear that this any idea of a 3D printed gun was very dangerous to our society. And you are here saying the opposite. I don't understand.
Yeah, well, Chuck Schumer is no friend of the Second Amendment. You know, he's a big fan of the type of Dianne Feinstein gun bills that came out in 2013, which coincidentally, the Democrat I'm running against, Claire McCaskill, is a big supporter of. But we usually don't expect to see Republicans in red states like this one coming out in favor of gun control, too. It almost seems like the Democrats want to take all of our guns, and some Republicans want to take our guns just a little bit. I'm trying to stop playing defense on the Second Amendment. I want to go on the offense. I think we need to stop fighting over how many of our rights we're going to take away and turn the conversation towards how we can expand our Second Amendment rights. That's what I'm fighting for, and those are the principles I'll carry with me into the Senate next year.
So the raffle ticket, how can you buy it over state lines? And
well, it's free, so it's basically just a giveaway. We couldn't do a raffle because of the campaign finance law. So all you have to do is go to austinpeterson.com/ghost_gunner, and you can register for free, and hopefully you'll be able to win your own ghost gun machine.
Right, okay. And I suppose you could make a donation there as well.
You absolutely could. And we've built a grassroots army. We're not funded by the establishment in D.C. Thousands of regular people, your listeners, have joined us. $40 at a time, we've raised almost $600,000. You know what's interesting, Glenn, is that despite all the money and the endorsements that my Republican primary opponent has had, I'm the only Republican who's running against Claire McCaskill in the double digits. You know, Trump won this state by 19 points. And I'm the only Republican who beats her by 16 points if the election were held today. The guy that everybody's trying to prop up in this race right now is either within the margin of error or he's losing to her, which is probably why they're so desperate. And they're kind of they're doing a whole Bernie Sanders, Hillary Clinton thing here. Remember when they changed the rules to favor Hillary?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Republican Party is doing that here for me. I feel sometimes like the Republicans would rather lose with someone that they can control than win with someone like myself who they cannot control.
Oh, I believe that. Absolutely. So Austin, because if people don't know you, you're obviously a deep libertarian, but you're not one of these crazy libertarians that is somehow or another is also for universal health care and everything else.
No, I'm not a what is Aleppo bake the cake libertarian. Yeah. I'm a pro-life, pro-liberty, pro-constitutional, constitutional conservative. I mean, one of the main reasons why I'm running, Glenn, is because I want to give some backup to people like Rand Paul and Ted Cruz and Mike Lee. Those are the people that I want to join in the U.S. Senate next year. That's why I'm doing this, to not only represent the people of Missouri, but to represent the cause of liberty. And, you know, when you've got the Republican establishment doing everything they can to stop you and the Democratic establishment doing the same, you know you're probably on the right side of history. Yeah. It's just a question of, in 2 weeks, can we get enough votes on August 7th to beat the Mitch McConnell pick in this race, which is why I am legally obligated to ask you, Glenn Beck, for your endorsement. Would you like to give me that today?
You know, I tell you, Austin, no.
No endorsements from
Glenn. I've learned an important lesson.
I know. You got kicked around.
You should be asking him. You got kicked around in 2016, Glenn.
But I have to ask. Don't ask, don't get.
No. I appreciate it. Yeah. But I think what Stu was just going to say is you should ask for me to hate you.
Yeah, endorse the other guy.
Right.
Then you'd have a great chance.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of endorsements, Austin, yeah. I saw Donald Trump yesterday appear mm-hmm. with your opponent in the primary, and he did not seem to be at all familiar with who he was. I have to be honest with you. It doesn't seem like he actually has like deep knowledge of this race by any means, but he did seemingly endorse your opponent. And we saw what happened in Georgia last night. I mean, that could be very powerful. How are you going to fight back against that?
Yeah, well, the last time that the president interfered in a primary, Alabama elected a Democrat. The president of the United States and the vice president are doing everything they can to kind of prop up this guy here in Missouri because he hasn't been campaigning. He's really ticked off a lot of the grassroots with not just some of the policy positions that he's taken, but he just hasn't showed up to any of these events. And I think he has this sort of entitlement complex. And it's really strange because, you know, he's this kind of Ivy League Yale lawyer, but he kind of does this whole pretend populism thing like he's a MAGA Republican, but he's just so not. And I mean, if you really want to drain the swamp, if you really want to, you know, tick off Mitch McConnell and the Republican elites, there's only one vote in Missouri that's going to count that can actually win the primary and beat Claire McCaskill. That's Austin Peterson for U.S. Senate. So I think that the president of the United States probably hasn't done his research and vetted everybody in the Senate primary. He probably just had somebody pointed Josh Hawley and said, he's the guy. And frankly, the president has better things to do than to worry about a Republican primary in Missouri. But he's probably called in, had some favors called in for him. And I mean, again, the question is, at the end of the day, are you an ABC voter? Anybody but Claire. If you want the strongest Republican Senate candidate, I'd beat her hands down. Not only do I beat her 16 points overall, but you know what was really exciting, guys, is I beat her by 41 points with young people. And if you want to restore and revitalize the Republican Party with true conservatives and true libertarians, I mean, I'm the best candidate who can do that here in Missouri. So I'm hoping people are going to come out for me on August 7th and pull a vote.
Yeah, I actually believe that what you just said is true. The country is moving in a different direction, and if the Republicans don't hop on and understand, the Democrats are moving towards socialism, and that is going to appeal to a younger group of people. If the Republicans just keep playing the same game, you're going to find yourself in the dustbin of history. You need to move towards a constitutional libertarian, but not necessarily a crazy libertarian, you know, a libertarian constitutional kind of candidate, because that is what the millennials will vote for. And they're fixing what we have put up with for so long. They won't put up with it.
Absolutely. I am the sworn enemy of democratic socialism, of communism, of collectivism. I think that the Republican Party is at a crossroads right now, and that if we really want the future to be a limited government future, one that we can secure the blessings of prosperity for our posterity, then I think a conservative and libertarian alliance is what we really need. And there are two of us Liberty Republicans who are running this year. Highly recommend you check out Senator Eric Brakey up in Maine, who's running against the horrible Angus King. He's a great guy. And then, of course, here in Missouri, I think that there's probably no better state other than perhaps your own state of Texas that could have someone like myself who is a true constitutionalist, somebody who really wants to bridge the divide between left and right and say, you know, we have so many things in common as Americans. We need to let this partisanship come behind so that we can put our country first, put our Constitution first, put our freedom first. And that's what's best for our children. They want to be free. They don't want to be saddled with student debt. They don't want to have to, you know, they don't even want to be in Social Security. They should be allowed to opt out when they're young people into the private marketplace. These kinds of solutions are what get young people excited, not democratic socialism. But if we don't put up good leaders, then I'm afraid that they may be swayed by the, you know, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's, the Bernie Sanders of the world, because when you just offer free stuff, I mean, that's a powerful incentive for some people. But frankly, I prefer, you know, freedom is dangerous, Glenn. I think that's why people are afraid of it. Freedom is dangerous as hell, but frankly, I prefer it to the alternative.
Austin Peterson, running for U.S. Senate in Missouri. Thanks for being on with us. And I think I have to go to the website and just put my name in so I could possibly win the Ghost Gunner,
thanks, guys.
3D printer. You can find Austin at austinpeterson.com, austinpeterson.com, or follow him at AP4, the number 4, Liberty.
Glenn Beck.
By the way, this portion of the program brought to you by the lovely city of San Francisco.
Poop Aroni on San Francisco streets.
Yes, the makers of Poop Aroni now on San Francisco streets. They have, we're going to get into a problem they're having there. Now, apparently it's very dangerous to ride the transit system there. I think they've had...
Is it slippery? What's the...
No, it's just, you know, just being killed. You know, people killing people in the system. So
a little murder?
Well, just a little bit of murder.
A dash of murder.
Dash of murder.
Has that ever hurt anyone, though? I mean, when you think about it.
Well, yeah, the people who are murdered.
Those people
are
the example
of
it.
Those would be citizens of San Francisco.
What is going on there? I mean, that seems...
What's going on there?
Is it just progressivism in action?
It's progressivism in action, yeah. It's
I mean, the poop thing is definitely progressivism in action, right? Like, not enforcing laws like that, you know, letting homelessness become such an issue, mm-hmm. and, you know, basically inviting homeless people to come there and do these types of things in their city because they feel bad and they have to, you know, give away everybody's tax money, is that one's clear. The murder thing... I guess maybe it's just blaming police for everything. What's the reason for that?
Well, can I just back up for a second? Do we really need to have a law that says don't poop on the street?
I think you've answered your question with the fact that you made a jingle.
No, I didn't. This is
poop Aroni on San Francisco streets.
That's the real deal. My question is, if we need laws to say that you can't poop on streets, you're not going to get you have no place to go. You have to have an authoritarian government.
Well, no, you don't. I mean, I don't. The large majority of people are not pooping on the streets,
right? I know.
But when people do make those.
Then you
decisions.
Need to have a bunch of people that are saying, hey, I'm going to cuff you or not cuff you or whatever.
It's a police force. I don't know that I would call it an authoritarian government.
When people are pooping on the streets, you can't rule yourself.
Glenn Beck, Mercury.